Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey guys, today with me I have Andrew and Pete. They're the founders of Atomic, which is an online membership area for small businesses. And I'm seeing they have some super creative ways of using content to grow that audience. So that's what I want to talk about. Hey, Andrew, Pete.
Hey,
Tom, thanks for having us.
Are you guys always this excited too, like in the videos? Like, are you always on?
Always on. Just ask always our neighbors. They'll tell you.
Oh, are you guys like roommates too?
No, that sounded wrong, didn't it? That sounded wrong. No, we're not. We're not. I meant our neighbors in our office building.
Yeah.
just to make that clear.
That'd be hilarious. Like, you know, you guys met in college and just never let go. Like, you're always...
Yeah.
Like, you're
We finally don't share a bed anymore, which is great, yeah?
Like, you're building two families from the same house. Like, But you two are still in the same room, just the families are in the separate rooms. It's like, no, we still need to bunk, you know?
Exactly. Top and tail. No bunk beds.
Hilarious.
This is great content already.
It's great content.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, you know, looking at your guys' stuff, there's a lot of super creative videos, you know? Like,
yeah.
How do you approach building this content with something in the back of your head where, you know, we're going to have to somehow get this back on track at the end somewhere in this video or, you know, whatever, to get people to actually go down the funnel? Because you can make funny videos all day long, but, you know, it doesn't mean it's going to convert or get the right traffic.
Yeah, so there's two types of kind of things to say about that. So the first thing is, we want to have fun with our content and with our marketing. Mm-hmm. And that's always been something that's been really important to us from day one of kind of doing content marketing properly. We've thought, if we're not enjoying it, then how can we expect anyone else to enjoy watching this or reading this or getting anything from it?
Yeah.
So a lot of the content that we put out there and how we've kind of made our mark in the industry is because it has just been, it's been like super valuable, and having like the learning points in the content is like a big part of our brand. But the other part is that it has to be fun and actually has to entertain people.
Exactly, because people will be more engaged and they'll learn so much more. Like the other day we did a video about GDPR on our YouTube channel. Like, go check it out, by the way, if you're listening, Andrew and Pete TV. And it was a fun look at GDPR. GDPR explained simply and in brackets, fun. Like, Andrew was literally wearing a prison outfit, like he just broke out of prison. And we got comments like, hey guys, I've just attended a 5-hour GDPR workshop and I learned more in your 5-minute YouTube video than in that whole workshop.
Yeah.
The reason? Because they were bored out of their mind in that workshop.
Yeah, so they weren't listening.
They weren't listening. They're not taking it in. So if we can get across valuable points, but in a entertaining or even just plain enthusiastic way, then it's going to have much more of an impact and our brand comes across a lot more and people are much more likely to respond to that and dear to us. Yeah. And that's how we get such loyal fans, because we're being ourselves. Like, no one's boring, but a lot of people are producing boring content.
Yeah, or salesy content. So that's kind of the second part to the question is, like, how does that tie back into our business goals? And that's because we understand that everyone that watches our content or comes across us at some point online isn't going to be ready to buy right now. But what we don't want to do is lose them by being overly salesy or aggressive, like straight away, buy from us, buy from us, buy from us, join Atomic. So when we're creating these like fun or useful videos, that is all they are intended to be, like fun and useful. Yeah. The key to content is getting people to subscribe to it in some way. So whether that's subscribing to your podcast or subscribing to your YouTube channel, or even better, getting them on your email list, right? And then over time, we're building that, what we call our brand equity with these people. And when we are ready to sell something, once we've built up that equity, we can sell things and we can get reactions from our sales content as well as our brand building content, because there's that level of trust has been built.
Yeah, so essentially what we're doing is we're building our brand, we're getting people to become loyal to us, we're getting them to subscribe so they mm-hmm. keep getting more of our content, and that equity is being built and built and built over time. Mm-hmm. And then regularly, consistently, we do put out content that is designed to get them onto our funnel, get them into our lead magnets, get them into our sales pages, get them onto pages on our website where we're going to retarget them, get them to check out our website, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't always just do that. And we don't produce content that is a sales message in disguise, you know? So it's almost two very distinct types of content there. The type of content that is there to just purely brand build and get people to find you and fall in love with you. And then there's the type of content that gets them into your funnel and gets them sold, gets them into whatever's going to, you know, eventually make the sale.
Right. So what
but,
are
but
the
by
two...
doing that first, that brand building stuff, like the reaction we get when we launch something or say, hey, check out this, it's so much more powerful. And the reaction so much better, mm-hmm. so much better than if we were to just purely do that sales stuff.
Yeah.
What are the two different channels then? So do you hook them with the funny videos and then move them down the chain to the more serious videos, or is it all funny? Because I could see some pushback from being funny all the time. You know, the assistant says, hey, boss, lawyer, you know, I got this great thing I'm going to sign you up for. It's called Atomic. It's great. You know, then he comes in, he's like, what the f- am I watching?
Yeah, you know what? That is amazing, right? That's what you want to do with your content, right? Your content cannot please everybody. And we know, like, 100%, there are people out there that have not bought from us because they've thought we don't take it seriously, or they thought we're too daft, or we're young and stupid, or whatever. Like, we've had them all. But mm-hmm. we don't care, because the ones that do buy love it. And you almost need to be okay with being divisive with your content, right? Yeah. You can't just be vanilla, I want to please everybody, because you end up not really, not that you don't not please people, but you don't wow people, you don't move
like,
them.
You're not turning them on, you're not getting them excited. It's not like, yeah, I can't wait to work with this person.
Yeah.
Like, that's the reaction we get. Like, people, like without blowing our own trumpet here, like, that's what we hear, and that's the reaction we get.
And we end up actually liking our customers, which is crazy, right? Like, when people join Atomic or when people have chosen to work with us, we get on with them so well. Because
they're the nicest people.
Yeah, because they're the kind of people that are on our level of humor or personality or whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Now, like, when we are doing the more in-depth training, of course, you know, we're not, you know, throwing pies in each other's face and whatnot. Like, it is a little bit more serious, but it's not like we're just completely dry.
No.
Like, for example, we did a social media marketing strategy show on Atomic, and we didn't just name that like the ultimate social media marketing strategy course, right? We called it Social Media Mania, right? Pin down your social strategy and knock out some sales, right? All the puns were there. and it had this like Mexican wrestling theme to it. So it was like,
with the best theme song.
The best theme song ever. It was so good. But like, do you know what I mean? It's not boring, and it develops our brand, mm-hmm. and that resonates with a certain type of person, that we want to work with. And all of a sudden, we've built up a business that we actually enjoy with customers that we like. And thus, they're going to be so much more loyal. And our retention on our membership site is going to be so much higher mm-hmm. than someone that doesn't have that loyalty.
Yeah, I definitely agree with it. You know, when I think of you guys, I sort of think of Alex Becker, too. You've probably seen him online, the SEO guy. You know, and he'll have videos. He talks a lot of shit too, you know, but he teaches too. He's, you know, he's great, but he's super entertaining. You know, it's like with you guys, I can kind of see like, you know, this is Andrew and Pete, you know, we're going to teach you Facebook marketing and turn you on at the same time. Like, I can see this happening.
That is exactly
I don't want to get into that vision too much.
But I can see this happening, you know, and it'll be fun. It'll be entertaining. I'll be like, what the hell are these guys going to show me, you know?
Yeah. It's like we always say do the logo test. So if you can remove your branding from your video and put someone else's branding on, if it looks like it's going to fit, then you're doing something wrong. Yeah. People have to know it's your content from the feel. And that's either from the tone of the written word, or it's either from how you're editing the videos or what your Instagram stories look like. Whatever content it is, you need to have your kind of, we call it your content stamp, so like your unique way of producing this content that people can identify with you even if they don't see your logo.
Yeah, so for example, like business advisors, they'll always tell you that you need a USP for your business, a unique sexy P. a unique selling point. And that's great, but we think you also need a USP for your content, mm-hmm. right? And that's what the content stamp is. It's that message that you can spread. So like you've said, you've introduced us, you know, these guys create this, you know, really entertaining videos, but they're actually really useful. Like that's exactly what we want you to spread the message on. So I think people forget that. Like a lot of people, they'll have, you know, they'll either be too spread out, like they'll have all these different things that they're doing and they don't always make sense. Mm-hmm. And they're not consistent, or there isn't that one thing that makes their content special. Mm-hmm. Typically when people are creating content, it's always just a style that they've copied off someone else, which doesn't make them unique. And thus, they're not going to be remarkable enough to be shared and talked about and spread. Mm-hmm. So if you ever heard like any cool podcasts, like if you want to listen to our podcast, The Andrew and Pete Show, it's a perfect example of how we've taken something that everybody does and made it unique. Mm-hmm. So for example, on our podcast, we have 10 contestants. We don't even call them guests. We call them contestants. And it's a game show. You get to win points. They deliver value and they get to win points. And at the end, you know, they're basically fighting it out to become the ultimate marketing champion. Right. Which is awesome, right? And like literally people put us in these like, that's only been going like a short space of time. But we're getting loads of features now, of these top 10 podcasts to listen to. And you've got like all the typical ones, like the really big names. Mm-hmm. And then you've got like us. And it's like, how did we make it onto that list after only having a podcast for the 10th, a fraction of the time that they've had a podcast?
Yeah.
And it's because it's unique, it's remarkable, it's worth talking about.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge to marketers today, and that's what we love to help people do.
Yeah,
interesting. So when it comes to your videos, right, because I see you do a lot of video content, how long does it take you typically to create one video, and do you have a formula that you sort of run through, or is it just all off the cuff?
Yeah, so we've just been refining this like time after time after time after time. So I can tell you what we do now, but it's not kind of what we started with. So we have our content day. So our content day is every single Tuesday. So every Tuesday between 9 and 3 p.m. is our content creation day. And generally the morning, 9 till 3, is either our prepping or our... 9 till 12 is our prepping or our recording time. So there's generally four Tuesdays in a month. First Tuesday, we are deciding what we're going to shoot.
So like,
just coming up with some ideas. The second Tuesday, we are doing the keyword research around that and writing the scripts. The third and fourth Tuesday, we are batch filming. And we generally do like two or three a day in those days. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they go off to our video editor. And then in in the afternoon, so between 12 and 3, we are doing all the other stuff. So we're doing like social media setups, we're creating all the thumbnails, we're doing all the kind of social media scheduling, but we have that down to a T. So we know exactly who is doing what and what tasks need to get done, and we can get it done in that 6 hours a week. Yeah. Like back in the day, we were editing ourselves, and that was all scheduled in as well. Just takes a tiny bit longer.
Yeah.
So yeah, we are like stupidly organized and anal with our time when it comes to content creation, because we realize it's because we prioritize it, right? The more content we create, the more our audience grows and the more sales we make. So a lot of people, they don't see it as I create this video, I get this customer, and okay, it's not like A to B, but it is if the processes are in place, and it is for us. So we know if we like stop creating the videos, we stop growing our business. So that's why it's a priority for us to get done every single week without fail.
So you can never book in with us like on a Tuesday.
No.
Like if you try and book us out for work or podcast or whatever, like you cannot get us because we will not will not move that Tuesday. Or if we absolutely have to, like we want to go on holiday or something, we'll move that Tuesday to another day. But if we always have that time. That's like sacred time.
Yeah.
So that's the deep work, the priority in your business. Yeah. That's the content creation.
Like we've tried it multiple ways. Like we used to do, let's do like a morning, a couple of mornings a week. And then in the afternoon, we'll might do some client work. But like we've found we need focused days. Yeah. So we completely just time chunk everything. So if we're working with a client, the client has us for that full morning or that full day. And we're like not thinking, crap, I need to go and schedule a YouTube video. We're like focused on it. But when it comes to creating the videos, we don't have any other distractions. Social, email, everything else turned off, heads down, content done.
Yeah.
So it takes about 1 month to create 6 videos because you have 1 week of brainstorming, then keyword research, then filming.
And yes.
Yeah, essentially.
Essentially, it's like 1 day per video, but we just batch it in different ways.
Yeah, so what it's funny because what we used to do is we used to script a video, record a video, edit a video, and schedule that video out for the following week every Tuesday. But by doing it this way in batches, we can write the script quicker and we can record quicker, which means we essentially save a full day each month, which gives us more time to work, you know, harder and better and get better results. And it allows us to get ahead of our schedule. So now we're like quite far in advance with our videos, which is a nice buffer if we do want to take a break.
That's including all the promotional activities as well, though. So that's including sending out the emails, creating the social media posts.
Yeah, tagging the actual YouTube video and writing the description for the video, adding the end cards and stuff like that.
Yeah. So that's actually like the actual video shooting doesn't take us all that long.
No, that's like half an hour video, half an hour to an hour to actually physically record.
Yeah, but I'm thinking the whole process because it's, you know, even doing a podcast, recording takes me 30, 40 minutes, but there's some, you know, you got to schedule, you got to think about stuff, you got to do the show notes. So, you know, there's a lot of the marketing.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Getting all of those tasks
little bits
down.
That's
get them all wrote down. We've been using spreadsheets for years. So we're a huge fan of Google Sheets. So we can both have the same spreadsheet up on our computer and be working from it. And we're like clocking everything. Like we literally have in our to-do list like 2 minutes to add our video to a playlist. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take 2 minutes. It takes like 30 seconds. But we've got it in as 2 minutes just in case. And that's in. So as I said before, like we're refining this over time and we're seeing what's taken us the longest and what can be outsourced. So video editing was one of the first things to go. We loved it and we were good at it. And we done it our first 50 YouTube videos. So almost a year on YouTube, we were editing ourselves.
Right.
Then we thought this is taking us like 2 hours a week for it's one video.
Hmm.
Right. We could be doing so much more in our time with our time. And we got an amazing video editor who just upped our attention so much on these videos.
Yeah.
So now it's like, as soon as you start outsourcing content tasks, you get the bug for it. We're like, we just want to like talk to a camera and have someone else do everything else.
Yeah, I agree. But you know, I like batching for a couple of reasons, like especially now since I do a lot of episodes on the same topic, if I batch them in the same week, you know, I'm still on for that topic. But if I spread it out over 6 weeks, like, my mind is somewhere else by the sixth week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Batching is, such a skill to master and do.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering about you guys, how you handle that, you know, because it seems like you're hitting sort of different topics, but you're still batching it. That's why I was wondering. What's the number one video that you've made, like the one thing that hit really big?
It's probably that GDPR one.
Yeah,
GDPR one is doing really well. So, which is crazy, right? Because it's like the most boring subject. And to be honest, we didn't want to record it. We didn't want to do it because we thought this is dull and we're going to have to read up on this to create this video.
Yeah.
But we've done it in our way, and it's ranking on page one of YouTube and Google. Like, our video is ranking on page one of Google at the moment for GDPR explained simply. That's done really well for us.
Yeah, it's really good. There's been like a few. Like, that's the thing with YouTube. If you can nail the tags and the description and so forth and get good retention on your videos, then you have a really good chance of ranking for strong keywords. Which is the one thing, like, we're obsessed with at the moment, just trying to rank our videos higher and higher, which is very, like, it's very hard and it's very hit and miss, but once you do hit it, it's freaking awesome.
We don't, like, profess to be YouTube experts at all, but it's something we've been learning and getting better at and working out how to do it. And it is a bit addictive almost, isn't it?
Yeah, well, totally obsessed with it.
Well, it's a game, yeah. Have you guys done any paid advertising, or are you mostly organic?
We are, it's mostly, well, for views, all organic.
Yeah.
We are looking a lot more at how we can use the YouTube advertising platform to fill the top of the funnel. Not necessarily grow our video views.
No, it's the one thing that's really good with the video ads is, let's say I created a checklist or a template for topic X. You can go and place an ad on all the best performing, highest ranking searches videos.
Like specific videos.
Specific videos on YouTube, and put your ad at the very beginning of them. Which is insanely cool, right? Because it's like, hey, you're just about to watch a video on topic X. Don't bother. Download this checklist instead, right? And we've seen so many, like, amazing examples of this being done. So that's, like, what we're working on at the moment, trying to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's super smart.
We have done, obviously, a lot of paid advertising in the past to grow our email list, which is extremely important. But at the moment, we're switching our focus over the last 2 years. Our focus is now on YouTube, and so that's what we're kind of preparing and dealing with at the moment, like YouTube advertising. So we'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's something I do for clients a lot. So what we usually like to do is we target our direct competition. And then we will do the pre-roll video, the one you can skip because, you know, that's the one that doesn't piss people off. But we will also do a banner ad on the right side and both pointing, you know, like, hey, I told you to watch that video. Click here, you know. So someone's worked their asses off to, you know, rank something number one with all these views, and we have a pre-roll and a banner ad saying, like, look, we know this is great, but click on this instead. and the one thing that we found with the video ads, unlike with Facebook, it's better to spend 30 seconds or even 50 seconds, tell people to click on the ad now and keep coming back. Like, look, I don't know why you're still here. Keep clicking. Click, you know. And it's funny, but it works. It works on YouTube really well.
Isn't it like it goes past one point, you've paid for anyway, so you might as well just keep on going and tell them to click.
Yeah, like you could have the longest video ever, and it doesn't even matter because you've already paid. So you might as well just keep going and explain yourself and just be like, seriously, like, how else can I explain why it's important? Why are you still watching this? Like,
that's it. That's the one.
It's quite funny, actually.
I don't know if you guys know of Billie Jean, but he has some really good examples.
We saw him speak at Social Media Marketing World a few months ago, and
he has some funny ones.
He opened our eyes to what's possible.
He's a beast. He's in beast mode on YouTube, and I really enjoy watching his stuff. Tell me a little more about the funnel to Atomic, right? Because, you know, selling a membership is something that almost everyone else wants to do. It's one of the best income streams. Are you doing webinars? Are you pushing people straight to the landing page? Like, what is the process there?
Yeah, it's hard, yeah. Right?
So there's like multiple things going on here.
Yeah.
So
I don't think there's like a quick win, like do this, explode your membership. It's definitely
this could be an hour's podcast.
Yeah.
a few things that have worked well. Mm-hmm. Webinars are great, but a really cool thing we're using to get people signed up to webinars now isn't via email necessarily straight away, right? So a really cool thing, like we could explain like a lot of funnels, but you've probably heard of them, right? So this is one that we've used recently a few times and it works really well. Rather than posting a link on say Facebook to go to your landing page to subscribe for a webinar, right? Because that's gonna get you terrible reach, so you're gonna need to pay. And you're going to want to pay anyway, but you might as well max out organic reach. And look, you're creating a lot of barriers to signing up for your webinar there, right? You're basically telling them to go off Facebook, enter the name and email in a landing page. It all seems very spammy. It's difficult, slow loading times, a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Use Facebook Messenger bots, right? Use the comment growth tool, right? So you can have a post on Facebook, go live, Facebook lives live, tell people why they should join the webinar, and the call to action is comment with the word subscribe or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So the moment they
make it a better word.
Make it a better word, like, yeah, like, smack. We had, what, for the Social Media Mania show, we had the word smackdown,
yeah,
which is funny, like a wrestling term. So we've got all these people typing in the word smackdown. The more comments you get, the more organic reach you get. So naturally, this one post gets thousands and thousands, like people complain about bad reach on Facebook. Mm-hmm. When we post on Facebook and do this kind of thing, organic reach is like six times our page likes, like 600%, even 800% we once got, just organically, which is a huge like thing, because a lot of people are like, oh, I only get like 1%, you know, reach on Facebook. Imagine 600% reach. So that's really cool. And it's a much easier
way to get someone subscribed.
But then what we do is, leading up to the webinar, we encourage them to enter their email address via the bot. So the bot will automatically say to them, hey, we've got a workbook for this upcoming live show. Would you like it? They say, yeah. You say, great, enter your email and I'll send it right over. Boom. Instantly, they're going to sign up and type in their email address. This is so much easier to get people to do. And then once the webinar's over, ask them if they would like to if they would like the slides or the replay link. And if they do, then they have to enter their email address. Mm-hmm. Now, if you do it this way compared to your typical landing page, you will get like, wait, let me work it out. It's like, I don't know, like five times more people signed up this way to a webinar. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so easy to get people signed up and much more effective too.
Yeah.
Because you've now got them on your bot and your email.
I think the other side of getting people onto your membership as well is making sure the content is amazing and updated regularly. So I think a lot of people see memberships as the holy grail and they think it's going to be easy, and then they'll whinge that it's a lot of work. And it's like, yeah, it is a lot of work, but it should be a lot of work, right? If you want to kind of grow something amazing, you do kind of need to put the effort in.
Yeah.
Something that we've been doing a lot more of on our membership is having what we're calling them shows, because they're like courses but fun, around certain topics, right? So that's great for the members because we're giving them a process, like go through this if you want to build a social media strategy, or you want to build your email strategy, or if you want to get started with bots, here's like X amount of episodes that you have to watch to get rocking. But then every time we have a new one that's going to be on Atomic. It also gives us something to talk about to our list on social, to run webinars around certain topics, rather than memberships just being like weekly content or monthly content.
Yeah, because that's the problem with membership sites. Like, if you've got the same content on there, once you've made a big like hoo-ha about what's on it and what it does, like, you've got no reason or no excuse to keep on emailing people and selling it.
Mm-hmm.
So every time we have a new show, we can do a whole new launch campaign for it,
mm-hmm.
which is fantastic. And we can even give away like the first episode in return for an email address and so mm-hmm. forth. So the funnel opportunities are much greater, and the launch opportunities are really powerful if you do these like mini shows or courses, as you might call them.
Yeah, but we're not into big, overly complicated funnels or anything, to mm-hmm. be honest. Like, we're not doing anything super, super duper fancy. It's a case of you've got this audience, you've built it with your primary content, your brand building content, find out who is interested in what subject. So if we're doing a webinar on, for social media mania, we've done mistakes you're making in your social media strategy or something like that.
Yeah.
We can start talking about that. People that are clicking on links to find out more or registering for that webinar, we know then that a subset of our audience is interested in improving their social media strategy.
Mm.
We can then send more salesy content to them about what we're doing on Atomic, rather than just spamming our whole list all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just about segmenting the list.
Yeah.
Basically, getting them to raise their hand. We call it hand-raising content.
Mm-hmm.
So something that is specifically will lead on to a course. Like, we have a build your own Facebook Messenger bot course, or show, as you like to call it, on Atomic. And we did a webinar about how to get started and what they are and what they're all about, because there's a lot of confusion about them.
Yeah.
And the webinar was great because we had so many people sign up to Atomic just from that webinar, because we'd given them the first step, and we knew that they were interested in building a bot because they were watching the webinar. So it was a great kind of hand raiser. So we knew who in our audience was a potential customer for this. And by following up with just those people, we don't annoy everyone. We just focus on the people that that are actually interested. And that's a much more successful way of getting sales.
That's super interesting. Yeah, I'm seeing that you have a lot of shows, so people get a lot of content quickly, but then you probably have some kind of a community thing too, right?
Mm. Yeah, the community aspect is so important on any membership. And like I was saying earlier, like, our community are just the nicest people.
So good. Yeah, just so amazing people.
There's lots of different tools that you can use. Ours personally is in a Facebook group. We found Facebook a lot easier. I know there's a lot of people are like pro Slack or pro forums. For us, Facebook just works really well, a Facebook group. And yeah, building that community and actually putting some effort into building that community is so important. And the best way to do that is let them talk about themselves. So we're giving a lot of opportunities for our members to talk about the amazing things they're doing, and they can support each other. And to be honest, like, we are so inspired by our members and what they're doing. It's like great content ideas for us. It like spurs us on, seeing like the wins that they're having.
Yeah.
Or like, how they're growing their businesses, how they're doing fun stuff with content.
A community isn't a place where it's you talking to many. A community is a place where they know each other. So as a community like manager, your role is to basically allow people to get to know other members,
mm-hmm.
because then they start to have friends and support groups and bonds, and people come for the content, but they stay for that community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the really important thing. And that's when you've nailed it, because a membership site, it's a retention game. You could get 1,000 members. If they leave after 1 month, it's pointless. The best funnels in the world aren't going to help with that. Mm-hmm. If you've got a leaky bucket, you need to fix the leaky bucket, you know?
Any more cheesy points you need to get
exactly.
in here.
Yeah.
Very cool. I know we have a hard stop, so I appreciate you guys coming on. Where can people find you?
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, well, we would love it if the listeners could go and subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you go to Andrew and Pete. Andrew and Pete.tv or search in YouTube just Andrew and Pete. You will find us there. If YouTube's not your thing, AndrewandPete.com. Andrew and Pete on pretty much every platform. We love Twitter as well, at Andrew and Pete on Twitter. We're on there every single day. So come and say hello.
Yeah, let us know if you've listened to this podcast, if you've learned anything, if we have, you know, inspired you, given you some food for thought, or if we've just really annoyed you. if you need some clarification, you know, let us know. We are here to help. We're here to serve. But thank you so much for listening. And thank you, Tom, for having us on the show. It's been great.
It's been awesome.
Yeah. Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.